verse 19. We're going to focus on the first statement that says this: to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus, coming home after temptation, coming home, he's given the opportunity to preach in a synagogue. He's given the opportunity to read from Isaiah. He opens at Isaiah 61 and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me." And at the end of the passage, he says, "To set at liberty those who are oppressed." I'll focus on the word oppressed because I need you to understand something about that word. That word in the Greek is the word turao, which means to break in pieces, to crush. So Jesus came to bring liberty to those who are crushed, to those who are broken into pieces. And so many times in our lives, that's how we feel. We feel broken. We feel crushed. We feel like we are living life piece by piece. We're scattered in the ground. When we are broken, we are unable to see how worthy we are. Therefore, we feel like that the world around us and ourselves screams out, unworthy, useless, throw it away. What do you do in your house when something breaks? Do you fix it or do you throw it away? Right? We have a couple of options. You can try to fix it or you can throw it away and go get a new one, right? And do you want to do you want to know a little bit of story about Sam, about how he learned English? A little quickly story about learning English here, all right? Has to do with brokenness. So here you go. I came to the U.S. knowing as much English as you know Portuguese about 20 years ago. Yeah, it has been 20 years and I still can't master this darn thing, all right? So you can laugh a little bit. So I came, I was working at a hotel resort, and it was break time, we were all in the break room, and people were talking, I was just observing, I didn't understand anything that was going on, but I knew people were talking and stuff, and one of the housekeepers, she was talking to her friend, and she opened her arms like that, hits a cup, the cup hits the ground, it breaks into pieces, and I heard as clear as day, as clear as possible, she's saying, "Oh, you broke the glass," and I was like, "Oh! Broke the glass, quebrou o copo in Portuguese." Okay. So I was all day, broke the glass, 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 broke the glass. A couple of weeks later, I was asked to do breakfast. So I moved from housekeeping to breakfast. And so I was helping with breakfast and so on and so forth. This little kid, you know, this is Orlando, Florida, Disney. The kid has a Mickey in his mouth, Mickey Mouse on his hand. Playing with Mickey, he hits a mug, the mug falls in the ground and it breaks. And I was like, "Oh, I memorized that one, so I used it." The mom was there and I was like, "Oh, he broke the glass." Oh, I said, "Broke glass." And the mom was like, "Yes, I'm so sorry." I didn't learn what she was saying. So, you know, so she's like, "Go on." And I was like, "Oh, she understood me." So I'll go into the kitchen, really happy, but not demonstrated. And then inside the kitchen, I was like, "Yes! Yes, somebody understood me. I can do this. I can speak English. That's awesome." A broken cup taught me that I can be understood, therefore accepted. A broken cup helped me understand that I can be understood and accepted. Listen, let me tell you something about brokenness. Brokenness can teach us powerful lessons. We can learn a lot of great things about brokenness. We can learn things about ourselves, about other people, and our relationship with God. Have you ever broke something that is favorite of yours? Have you ever broke something that you like or that was something that someone else really liked and got broken? At our house, you know, one of the things about American culture that I have been learning throughout the years is that, you know, there are family pieces that are important to the family, right? So Laura has been given a lot of family pieces that are very important. One of those pieces were a candy dish that her grandma had in her house and was passing down to her. So, but in our house, right, we have three kids, the dog, there's soccer ball flying everywhere. Listen, don't put out anything special. It will be broken, all right? So that's what happened. The ball was flying around the house, hit the candy dish. The dish falls in the ground, and it broke into pieces. I have a wife crying, kids upset, you know, and we're like, and I thought to myself, man, we should have been a little bit more careful around here. I heard one of the kids say, just glue it, mom, just super glue it. But we know that even though you super glue it, right, it is not the same. It has been broken. The value has been lost. See, this is the mentality we have in this consumerism age that we live in today. If it is broken, has lost its worth, has lost its value, therefore is no good. So what do you do when something breaks? Do you fix it or you throw it away? At our house, we try to fix it, but we know that it has lost its worth. But here's what I'm afraid. I'm afraid that that same mentality that might be useful for object, it is not so useful when we apply that to human beings. When we apply that mentality to creation, when we apply the mentality to something that God created and called love and called worldly, we start to deviate from the purpose that God has for us as individuals, and we start to put worth on people that is more of an object thing rather than a human thing, a created thing, a love thing, a worldly thing. Have you ever felt that way, though? Have you ever felt that way? Broken, shattered, sat on the shelf, tossed aside, put it in a box to be put outside and eventually throw it away? Have you ever felt broken? Have you ever looked into your own life and you're like, man, I am broken? There are situations that we face, things don't do us, and things don't buy us, that screams in our minds, broken, useless, ready to be put in the garbage. Have you ever felt like damaged goods that are good for nothing, replaceable goods? Have you ever felt broken, unrepairable? It takes too much work to restore you. Just throw it away, go get a new one. I remember back in the day, in one of my ministry back in the day, this one girl, lady, coming over and over and over and over to me because she kept finding herself in messy relationships with guys. She would come to the office and say, Pastor Sam, I did it again. I was dating this guy, and he did this and that to me. And I'm dating this. And then a few months, she'd break up with him. A few months, she got another guy. She'd come happy and then find herself in the same puzzle. This guy's doing this and that to me. And after a couple of years of that, she came to my office one day crying. And I was like, girl, why do you do that to you? We have been talking here over and over and over again throughout the years, like about how you need to choose better guys. Like, you keep choosing the same kind of guys with the same characteristics. These guys are not good. Can you change? Like, can we talk about how to change that process? And she's like, I was like, why do you do this? And she's like, because I don't think I'm worthy of nothing better than that. I don't think I'm worthy of better, of good guys, of godly guys, of guys who would love a woman. I was like, why? Why is that? She's like, because growing up, my grandpa did this to me. And then my cousin came and he did that to me. And then my friend came and he did this to me. So I feel dirty. I feel broken. I feel worthless. I feel useless. And the only thing I think I'm worthy is to be thrown away. I cried that day. We did cry together in my office. Because reality is that it is not because we have come to this understanding that I feel like crying right now. I don't know why. That if we are broken, we are to be thrown away. And that's not true. That's not true. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you're broken. You're a guy and the only thing you can think is pornography, is drugs, is how you're not worthy of providing for your family. Maybe you're a girl, a lady, and things has been done to you, said towards you, and you feel like, I am ready to be tossed away. I'm ready to be put on the pile of eternal trash. I think God wants to tell you, I didn't do this on first service, okay? That's just telling you that. I don't know what the deal is. It's your fault. Maybe God is moving in my heart. I am a girl once in a while, but not this profound. Maybe it's Laura. I don't know why, guys, but I have a heavy burden in me right now. I don't know why. I can't knock it off. So why don't we pray? Can we do that? Maybe this morning. I don't know what's going on. This is weird. It doesn't happen, right? This is weird. So maybe this morning you're heavy-laden, and maybe this message is really touching you right now. I don't know. It's touching me for some other reason. So let's pray, all right? Let's pray. Father God, I come before you. We are all broken. I am broken. We are all broken, and we need you in our lives. We have been hearing from the world and the lies from within that says you are worthless because this and that has been done to you. Father, may we forget and erase the lies that has been spoken in our lives and remember the goodness that is found in Jesus Christ. That you, Jesus, came into this world to set liberty for those who are broken, for those who live in brokenness. So this morning, right now, as I continue to speak this message out, I pray that you move in my heart and our heart as a congregation. It's in your holy name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Babe, can I have a glass of water, please? Because we have been taught that, because we feel broken and we have been taught to cultural things that if you're broken, throw it away. We try to hide it. We try to fake it, right? So we can't show the world the reality of our lives. So if you are broken, we don't show it. If you show your cracks and or brokenness, you will lose your worth. So we go throughout life trying to hide the brokenness that is within, the brokenness that is in our lives. The cracks, the brokenness, the crevices. But with our broken families, broken marriages, broken relationships, broken dreams, broken banking accounts, broken professional lives, broken spiritual lives, broken physical bodies, broken emotional minds, broken social lives. Do you want me to keep added on the brokenness that we live into? It is hard to find the worth in our own self. We often see ourselves as damaged goods. We're just like that girl in my office, feeling like that we are not worthy of God's blessing, that we are not worthy of being restituted to that what we have been, that we have lost, that we are not worthy of purity, that we're not worthy of God coming and rescuing us from the brokenness of our lives. When we experience loss and rejection and abuse and trauma and other adversities in life, more often than not, we experience brokenness in our hearts that leads us to a bitter and cynicism in life, to bitterness and cynicism in life. The challenge you face could lead to, that we face can lead to a hardened heart. A cold heart, an indifferent heart, an insensitive God, a heart to God and His work. And that kind of attitude and feelings in our heart can hinder us from receiving the best of God, the blessings of God to our lives. See, here's the thing I have learned throughout the years is that there is worthy in brokenness. Brazilians love broken arts. There is an art in Brazil. I have a couple of pieces here for you where the artists got broken glass and they put it back together into a different format. So here's two examples of that. You got the broken glasses. You want something that was broken and worthless. And you mesh it and you put it back together in a different format. Isn't that cool? Right? But this doesn't count. This is not a Brazilian art. It's a Japanese art. There is a name to it. It's up there. I can't pronounce it. And if I can't speak English, good luck with Japanese, right? So here you go. Evan, you should help me out. No, it's called Kintsugi. It's an ancient art meaning to patch with gold. It is an age-old custom of repairing crack pottery with real gold, not only fixing the break, but greatly increasing the value of the piece. I love that. As an example, if you break, there is a broken glass, a broken plate, a porcelain plate, they'll gather the pieces together, they put gold in the middle of it and put it back together with the gold. The heart of it all is turning what is broken into beautiful, cherished pieces by sealing the cracks and the crevices with lines of fine gold. Instead of hiding the flaws, the cracks, the brokenness, the artists of this art highlight them, creating a whole new design and bringing unique beauty to the original piece. The pottery actually becomes more beautiful and valuable in the restoration process because though it was once broken, it now not only has history, now has a new story to be made. What was once broken has history and a new story to be made. Therefore, a brand new value, an increased value. And when I read about this, when I learned about this art, I was like, man, that's exactly what God does. He gets the broken pieces of our lives with a story, and then he puts it back together with gold. He increases our value so that we have a new story, a better story. See, while most normal repairs of broken things hide themselves, hides the brokenness, the cracks, and the crevices, so that you become like as good as new, this art reinforces a profound belief that the repair can be made not so you'll be as good as new, but that you'd be better than new. The whole idea is that this piece would be better than it was before, better than new. And when I read that, I'm like, man, that's exactly what God does. That's exactly what God is doing with our lives. He's picking us up, the brokenness of our lives, our broken pieces, putting back together with gold, mending us together, not so we would be as good as new, but that you and I, that we would be better than what we were before. Soak that for a moment. God is working through your brokenness, in your brokenness, not to make you as good as you were before, but better than ever before. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 and 10, verse 7 through 10, and I had it up there for you, because we need to understand one thing. The Bible never guarantees that we will never be broken. The Bible does guarantee that God would pick up the pieces and make us better than ever before. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 and 10 says this, 7 through 10 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing powers belongs to God, not to us. We are afflicted in every way. We are afflicted in every way. Have you ever felt afflicted in every way? Man, there are days I wake up and I feel afflicted in every single way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. We are never promised that we will not be broken, but we are promised that God will put us back together better than we were before. Our value would be increased through our brokenness, not decreased. After reading these verses, I started researching, and the one thing that really caught up to me was this idea of jars of clay. So I started to research the word jars of clay and see the definition. And one of the definitions, one of the part of the definition, it talked about, it was to be reminded of this jar that people had in their house. It's a fragile jar, but I used for jars for the family. It's something that families lived with. It. They used it all the time. Because it was used and used often, they had cracks and chips on it. So like it wasn't a perfect, it was full of cracks and chips around it. And here's what was beautiful about it is that you could see light through it, and what was inside was leaked out of it. There is so much to get from these verses, but the idea that struck me was that the brokenness of the jar of clay allows what is inside to be seen, to flow out. Here's the thing. Brokenness reveals. It doesn't conceal. Brokenness reveals. It doesn't conceal. The brokenness of our lives allows God to shine through us. And that's what Paul, one of the points that Paul is making in 2 Corinthians and saying, like the brokenness that we go through, the cracks that happens in our lives is not so that we would be concealed, that we would conceal what is in the inside, but that we would be, that the cracks would reveal what is in the inside. And we as Christians reveal God. The brokenness of our lives allows God to shine through us. I know this is a silly statement, but it's the best that I can do today. The light ought to shine from the inside to the outside. But here's the thing. There are lies out there swirling around and whisper to our deepest soul in weak moments when you have lost your grip and things come crashing down and brokenness reach your life. You are broken and worthless. You are useless to God and you are useless to others. Therefore, you feel the need to hide the scars. You feel like the brokenness has reduced you to the status of useless in life. You feel beyond repair. You feel tossed aside. You feel rejected, ashamed, and forgotten as you sit waiting to be tossed into the eternal trash pile. But the Bible tells us differently. It tells us that God breaks through all the mess. You're never beyond healing. You're never too broken for restoration. You're never too shattered to repair. Don't be ashamed of your scars, of the deepest crevices that lie in your soul, or the brokenness of your life. Those are amazing stories to tell. And God is mending you together so you are better than ever before. You have a story, and God is filling the brokenness with gold, giving you a new story. Therefore, your value has just increased. Here's the truth. I need you to hear it. Just because you have been broken doesn't mean that you are to be thrown away. Just because you have been broken doesn't mean that we are unusable and sat on the shelf waiting to be thrown in the trash. Just because we have been broken doesn't mean that we are forgotten, that we should live life shamefully. Just because you have been broken doesn't mean that you have no worth. If God only used unbroken, perfect people, He would have no one to use. Your value just increased. Your value just increased. Brokenness has the power, unlike anything else, to bring forth new beauty, new strength, inspiration to others, because it is often in those moments that we have tasted the deep suffering that we notice. We were made for more. We are made for God. There is more. There is a purpose. Let me tell you this. Your value just increased. The scars of life, the healed wounds, the deep lines, they all have story to tell. Yet often we try to hide them away, preferring instead to present to the world a safe self, a safe front, a safe facade, this false reality of self, who are more perfect than the reality. See, if you're trying to fake it out, if you're trying to hide the cracks and the brokenness, let me tell you this. You need to understand. You need to understand this. We have a rescuer. We have a healer. His name is Jesus, one who rescues and repairs broken people, one who can fit the broken pieces that no longer seem to fit right into a perfect new design, one who works often behind the scenes, mending, fitting together, creating a better work of art more than we ever dreamed possible. He's using gold to put you back together. Therefore, your value just increased. He makes all things beautiful. He specializes in broken pieces. It's often His grace. It's real life. Rough edges and all, they all have so much meaning, so much worth for God. So many of us, we think that Jesus does a rushed, half-work repairing job in our lives. And let me tell you this, you are not just simply patched back together. Jesus is not secretly hoping that the glue would stick this time. Jesus rescued us. His repair and healing is never intended to be invisible and temporary, but a work of godly art, beautifully lined up with shining grace and mercy and love through every scar and broken spaces. Gold-filled crevices of our hearts, now stronger, better than ever and ever before, more beautiful than you could ever think of. Your worldly does not come from your brokenness. Your worldly comes from the repair that God has done in your life and continues to do so. Your value has just increased. And that's what the Christmas story is really all about. Jesus coming down from heaven to earth, bringing life to what was broken. Jesus was willing to give up heaven to take on the brokenness of this world in order to rescue the world and bring the world and us restoration. Jesus is our rescue story and rescue us from brokenness. Your value has just increased. Beautiful Savior, Jesus, who set us free from what oppresses us, He makes all things new. I'd love to finish this sermon reading for you these verses. Revelation 21:5 says this, "Behold, I am making all things new." So many of us think that God is actually going back in time with our lives, and God's like, no, that's not what I do. I don't want to make you as good as new. I'm making something completely new with the brokenness of your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, new has come." God is not working for the past. He's working for your future. Isaiah 43:19 says this, "Behold, I am doing it right here and right now. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" God is working in your life. So many of us are still caught up in the brokenness. And God's like, the pieces have been put together. I am gluing with gold. Your value has just increased. Don't you see it? Don't you see that this new life that I'm bringing to you, it is better than ever before. Leave the brokenness behind and accept it. But allow me to work and give you new purpose for the future. Don't you see it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You don't think it is possible. You don't think it is possible to God to bring worth to your broken life. I challenge you to dare God to bring new worth to your life, because He will do it. He'll bring the new, they'll get the new pieces and put it back together. And that's what he does. Psalm 147:3 says this. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Ecclesiastes chapter 3:11 says this. He has made everything beautiful in its time. I love that because that's what God does. But it's not on our timing. It is on his timing. Patience, obedience, faith, and hope is so important as you walk with Jesus. Isaiah 41:10 says this. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my mighty righteous hand. Matthew 11:28-30. The final one says this. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So many of us, we are working so hard to mend our own lives. And all that we have found is more brokenness in the process of trying to heal ourselves. And Jesus is like, stop trying to mend yourself. You can't do the job. That's why I'm here. I am the artist. You are the broken pieces. I put it together. You just sit and enjoy the ride. You rest in that. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus wants to do it all for you. So maybe this morning you find yourself broken. And you have tried so hard and worked so hard to mend yourself and to find restoration. And you found more brokenness. And Matthew 11 tells you, stop, trust God, learn from him. He will do it. Just trust him with your life. Sometimes one of the hardest things as a pastor is to know that God can do some amazing things, but his people are depriving him, keeping him from working in their lives. So my challenge for you today is that you would put before God that one brokenness that is keeping you from moving forward with life. Just sit and relax, because I know that God is more than capable to bring rest to your soul and to your life. Let's pray.